أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائه مجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We started to discuss the section in Al-Kafi referred to as Kitab al-Zi wal-Tajammul wal-Muru'ah, the book of attire or behavior, tajammul, showing beauty and showing adornment or showing that one's beauty or what one has, as the riwayat said. Wal muru'a, which we discussed last week what the word means to the extent that we were able to understand. In the first chapter, Babu Tajammul wa Idhharu Ni'ma, we, I believe, arrived at hadith number 6. I'm not sure, we might have covered this. It says, وَبِهَذَا الْإِسْنَاطِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ بِئْسَ الْعَبْدِ الْقَاذُورَةِ. The Isnad is the same as the last hadith that we went over last week, that we said some ulama would have an issue with this. Muhammad ibn al-Hasan ibn Shammun has been considered to be one of the ghulat by some judgments that in our view are completely and utterly wrong. The explanations are available in Rijal sessions, and they would have been discussed here had it been a Rijal class. Anyhow, we consider this person to be not only a reliable person, a very reliable person. Anyhow, some ulama would have an issue with that. We considered a reliable chain of transmission from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh, quoting the Holy Prophet, بِئْسَ الْعَبْدِ الْقَاذُورَةِ. بِئْسَ الْعَبْدِ means bad is an abd, a servant, that is described as الْقَاذُورَةِ. Any person that has this quality of being قَاذُورَةِ is, according to the Prophet, God considers that, according to God's standards, that's a bad person. And badness, of course, is gradational. We're not talking about some horrific thing, but this is not, God doesn't like this. What is it? A person that doesn't care what their clothes look like. They don't care to wash themselves, to be clean, to dress well. A person who is careless in that regard is al-qadhura, according to the definitions that we found. And so I think very clearly based on what has been mentioned, what we have covered in the chapter so far, it makes perfect sense. We had a couple of hadith that went over that. I won't reiterate since we have other hadith that will come. Hadith number 7 is Ali ibn Ibrahim an abihi an ibn Abi Umair عن بعض أصحابه عن معاوية ابن وهب. Everyone in this isnad or sanad is reliable. The only problem is one link here that's not clear who it is. It says عن بعض أصحابه. ابن أبي عمير narrates عن بعض أصحابه. Now, more scholars would not have an issue with this, since Sheikh Al-Tusi in his Usul book, Udda, when he's talking about which riwayat to accept, which chains of transmissions we accept generally, he's giving his explanation of that. He says if it's mursal, if we don't know who, mursal means the link is not known. If it's mursal, we don't know who it is, then it's not acceptable unless the mursil, the one who is giving that hadith without mentioning who it's from, are known to be those that لا يروون ولا يرسلون illa an thiqatin illa amman yuthaqu bih. Then he gives examples. One of those examples is Ibn Abi Umayr, Muhammad ibn Ziyad, known otherwise as Ibn Abi Umayr. So because of that statement there, and also in addition to that, Ibn Abi Umayr was a companion that was persecuted, and he was sought after by the authorities, and he had to hide what he had written and transcribed from the teachings of the Imam. And the way he did that was to bury his books. He buried his books, and once he was released from imprisonment, he went back, the books had been destroyed. He went off of memory. And so the combination of those two statements tells us many ulama believe that Ibn Abi Umayr had compiled all the ahadith in his books from people that he knew, and the names were mentioned. That little detail is not one that he always remembered. So all those ahadith he had memorized. That was something. It is at that period that we see the title Hafiz, for example, being given to a person. And a Hafiz would be a person that has hundreds of thousands of hadith memorized. So for Ibn Abi Umayr to have this memorized is not something very unusual, although not everybody had that, but there were people there. It shouldn't be something that would be considered far-fetched. These days, of course, people don't memorize texts in that way. And so it's hard for us to imagine that, although with poetry we do have some people, but it's very rare to find that. It's very unusual for us. But it was not that unusual. In fact, it was something that people aspired to become. So anyhow, that one little detail, many times Ibn Abi Umayr does not tell us who exactly it is. The name is not mentioned. And it says بعض أصحابه many times. So the combination of those two, many, I would say, I think I can comfortably say most ulama would accept this chain of transmission. قال معاوية ابن وهب, one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, says رآني أبو عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. Imam al-Sadiq saw me وأنا أحمل بقلا, and I was carrying some herb, some green, some vegetable. It seemed that's what the literal meaning of it is. If it has a different meaning in certain contexts, I have not become aware of that. The reason why I say that is in the southwestern area of Iran, which is adjacent to couple of provinces in Iraq, and at times in history after research, that part of the current-day Islamic Republic was at least at times considered part of the region Iraq, not the country. There was no country by such name, but the region Iraq. And currently about 50% of that province population-wise is Arab. And so there's been a lot of, it seems, even pre-Islamic, it seems, I'm not 100% sure on that. So there's been a lot of exchange between those areas and the Arab culture. So the Persian language and culture with Arab culture, it's a mix over there. There's a lot of influences both ways that happen over there. And that word has a meaning other than the herb, and sometimes it refers to just basic groceries. So I don't know, but the word literally does mean an herb or herbs, some vegetables. He was carrying فقال. So this is what Muawiyah ibn Wahab is. He's walking and he's carrying some green or herb or vegetable. The Imam said فقال. He said يكره للرجل السري أن يحمل الشيء الدني فيجترى عليه. It is disliked. Kariha is to dislike something. Yukrah is the passive tense of that verb, or that word in the verb form of it. So So it is disliked for a man, which means a person, gender is not intended here, for a person, as-sari, according to the dictionaries that we were able to look up, it means a sharif, someone who is noble, not in the class system or class-wise, someone who has nobility. If you're a noble person, يُكْرَهُ لِلْرَجُلِ السَّرِيِّ, because Islam rejects all of that, all of those classifications based on your financial status. And that's one very important thing that in understanding these riwayat, we need to take into consideration. The Holy Quran clearly, all of these, first of all, in order for us to consider something to be from the Ahlul Bayt, it needs to conform with the Quran. The other thing is, when interpreting that hadith, it needs to be interpreted, or in other words, understood in the context of the Quran and conforming with the Quran. Any explanation that does not conform with the Quran is a wrong interpretation and explanation. So the verse of the Holy Quran is very, very, the verse says, so many of them, rejecting this whole class system in any form of it. So, الرجل السري, when we say it means noble, it doesn't mean in that system. So someone who's rich and wealthy, carrying something cheap in their hands, if that would be the understanding. That's not what the idea is. يُكْرَهُ لِلْرَجُلِ السَّرِي, if you're noble, a person, and believers are supposed to be noble. يُكْرَهُ لِلْرَجُلِ السَّرِي أَن يَحْمِلَ الشَّيْءَ الدَّنِي, something that is low, don't carry it. Well, this is a literal translation, then we'll have to look into further what this means. فَيُجْتَرَأَ عَلَيْهِ, it's disliked for a person who is noble to carry something that is low, a dani. A dani means low. فَيُجْتَرَأَ, and as a result, people will have the audacity, over them. يُجْتَرَأَ عَلَيْهِ, in other words, people will now be able to, or will be, in a sense, because of their behavior, will be encouraged to come up and treat them in a non-noble way, in a non-honorable way. Now, what does this exactly mean? Does this mean that, that notion we already rejected, but does it mean that if I'm wealthy and I'm considered according to the social norms as someone that is upper class, upper middle class, I shouldn't be carrying cheap things, small insignia? I'll give that to others to do a walk. Is that what is intended? Based on the Quran, that is not the case. That whole mindset is wrong. Well, if that's not what is intended, then what is intended? Couple of things for understanding this. We need to acknowledge that we weren't in those particular, in that social construct, we weren't present there to know exactly what some of these words mean. Like, what's wrong with carrying an herb? For example, even a wealthy person, we have this, right? A very wealthy person may go and purchase some greens, okay? And they'll put them in their car. From the cart, they will transfer them to their cart, to their car, right? Even if they give it to others, sometimes they may do that. Even according to the standards that we live in today, in the very material world that we live in, with all the economic injustices and discriminations that exist, you can find very wealthy people that will drive up and is like, what is carrying an herb, something that is low? That's something that it's hard for us to picture. So we need to acknowledge that some of these details we can't fully have a full understanding of. And so we need to use the parts that are clear to get some understanding that can be relevant. So in that regard, the baql part, the green, the herb, the vegetable, we can't really, which is what Muawiyah ibn Wahb says, I'm carrying. That part is not really too understandable. What we have left is the statement of the Imam that is actually not limited to that particular case. A general principle is being presented in this case. يُكْرَهُ لِلرَّجُلِ السَّرِي أَنْ يَحْمِلَ الشَّيْءَ الدَّنِي. So we can't really really pick up on what exactly that was that he was carrying, and say, for instance, carrying herbs or greens or things like that is not good for a believer. And that understanding that is based on judging people based on their economic status, that's also not acceptable, because that goes against what the Quran says. What we can take and does conform with the Quran is this. Again, with that specific example, we can't really tell. I hope I'm able to get this across. I'm not sure if I can fully get it across. Sometimes what you carry can give the wrong image about who you are. If it's something that is going to give that image, the wrong image of who you are, and as the Imam says, as a result, people will consider you a low person. Now, this is not, please, again, let's not understand it in the social, financial construct and, you know, the class system and all of that. A person who is noble, genuinely, internally, as a believer, everyone is noble. Everyone is sharif, everyone is sari. Okay? But then there's people in society that are not like that. And a community or a society, unfortunately, that is not governed by the Prophet or the Imams, like that time when the Prophet was leading the Ummah, everyone was moving towards becoming sari. And nobility comes from within. Sharafa comes from within. Iman first, and then your behavior. It doesn't matter how much you earn, how much you have, what your financial status is. It's based on Iman. Everybody moves up the ranks of Iman and becomes more and more noble. But there are people, you know, people start moving away from God's teachings. And so you have people that are not very noble people. Materially, or the way they view the world, the way they perhaps behave, they don't understand the value of a human being. And so they're, let me use the word that the Prophet used according to the hadith that we just read, al-qadura, doesn't care, wear whatever, not be clean, I don't really care. This is besides, let's not confuse two ideas. Again, I keep repeating this, because we're vulnerable to this, having a misunderstanding based on social status. Okay, there's a huge difference between a person who doesn't have anything, and their clothes may even at times be not very tidy because they can't afford to wash that clothes temporarily for a short period. That may happen to a person. Or in terms of their clothing, maybe be ripped here or there, and they don't have any way temporarily. There's a difference between that and someone that doesn't care. They have it, they don't have it, they can go get it fixed, they just don't care about it, okay? That this is the dina'ah, or the lowness of a person. Lowness has different aspects to it. The lowness, of course, of this person is not, we said before, it's gradational, right? Al-qadura, not being careless about oneself, or in this case, ad-dani, something low. Lowness in what sense and how far? The lowness of someone like Yazid, or anyone today that is identified as a very noble person according to social norms. They have a lot of wealth, they look very well, they look very presentable, they're always clean and tidy, they have very expensive lotions and hair care and what have you, skin care and everything, and mansions upon mansions and so on and so forth. they could be the lowest. In this particular aspect, a person has that, they're careless about these matters. Now, usually, a person who is a man of faith, a person of faith, because God has said, that's what we're reading, these are the ahadith that we're reading, they take care of them. The Prophet used to wear fragrance, he used to take care of his clothes, his beard, his hair, all of those things are sunnah of the Prophet. So a believer is going to do that. A person who doesn't take care of any, doesn't care, doesn't have that care regarding other areas either. So anyway, so there are people that have this way of life. They just don't care, and so they don't have that nobility within them. Now, when you behave, when you're carrying something that will give the impression that you're of those types of people, it's going to cause people to feel, oh, this is one of those guys. The Imam is saying, don't do that. Again, the full understanding of this, I don't know. I can't do any better than this. This is the best explanation I can give, and something that doesn't contradict or conflict with what the Quran teaches. And I hope I was able to present it. If there's any other details in this, anything else that the Imam has intended by this, so basically says where the way you behave publicly in the eyes of others, don't carry things or do things that will cause you to be seen as someone that is careless, someone that is low, doesn't have that nobility in them, and then this will cause you to be subject to a behavior, and you'll be treated in a way that is undesirable. The last thing regarding this is a question, because again, it's not a very clear, and we need to understand this is an account. We're not hearing this from Imam al-Sadiq. This is what this chain of transmission from Muawiyah ibn Wahab has given us. What exactly did the Imam mean by yukrah? It is disliked. Is this disliked by people? Is this disliked by God? What is it? What exactly is this trying to tell us? And on that note, if it's something that is divine, which many would conclude that, as I said, I have a question on that. I'm not saying certainly this is not, but there is a little bit of attention that is required here, and one needs to be very clear on it to be able to take this hadith and base things based off of, and or base their life and their behavior on. And if we can't find clarity, we would have to rely on more clear riwayat from the Ahlul Bayt regarding this these topics. If this is something that is a divine teaching, don't carry things or, in a sense, behave in a way that you will be seen as someone that is low, someone who is not noble, and therefore, and then be treated in that way. It's disliked. Okay, if this is a divine teaching, this is one of the teachings that are there. As we mentioned in the beginning as well, this is one of the teachings that Islam has. Does it mean that a person will never dress or carry something that will be seen as such? Well, let's look at the rest of the hadith. There may be another cause. If a person chooses to do that, meaning just they don't care how they behave, how they're seen, what they carry, well, this hadith says no, do care. But does that mean that under no circumstance should you be carrying something or wearing something that will cause others to feel that way towards you, that's not something we can take from this. And we will find, it's actually in the Rawat, it may be the next hadith, I believe it is, or at least partially. We have a few hadith that we're going to read that are interesting accounts from the Ahlul Bayt. So without any further ado, let's move on to the next hadith. Hadith number 8, عِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِنَا عَنْ أَحْمَدْ إِبْنْ مُحَمَّدْ عَنْ عَلِي إِبْنْ حَدِيدْ عَنْ مُرَازِمْ إِبْنْ حَكِيمْ عَنْ عَبْدِ الْأَعْلَى مَوْلَى آلِ سَامْ. I won't discuss the chain of transmission too much. There's some figures here that some people have some questions. We consider this a reliable chain of transmission. And Abdul A'la Mawla Ali Sam narrates, he says, قُلْتُ لِأَبِي عَبْدِلَّهِ. It's from Imam al-Sadiq salamu Allah alayhi. He talks about a conversation he had with Imam al-Sadiq. He says, I'm going to try to be as careful as I can. I read this a couple times, or a few times, and every time some aspects seem to pop up a little more and become a little more noticed by myself, and I hope I can get all of those across in the right way. He says, I said to Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, إِنَّ النَّاسِ يَرْوُونَ أَنَّ لَكَ مَالًا كَثِيرًا. People are whispering this, they're narrating this. يَرْوُون means they're narrating for one another. They're talking about this. But what? That أَنَّ لَكَ مَالًا كَثِيرًا, that you have a lot of wealth. It doesn't say whether the Imam has that wealth or he doesn't. This is one of the areas to focus on here. Abdul A'la Mawla al-Sam goes to Imam al-Sadiq, says, people say and are talking about you having a lot of wealth. The Imam's response, فَقَالْ مَا يَسُوءُنِي ذَلِكَ. This, or that rather, that does not hurt me. It's not bad for me. What is that people saying that he has a lot of wealth? Okay, having a lot of wealth or not having a lot of wealth is a different thing. And we're not saying that the Imam didn't have. There were reasons why Imam al-Sadiq was viewed in that way. But the amount that people thought he had, did he have that or not? That's not the discussion here. It's not about how much he had. It's about people saying this, all right? So this is, let me stop, pause right here, okay? I've come across a lot of people that don't like others to think or to know sometimes. Maybe they have money, they don't want others to know. They like others to think that I'm just a regular person. Okay. We will see in this hadith and a few other hadith that, using the word of Imam al-Sadiq here, people thinking that I have a lot of money is not bad for me. It's actually not bad at all. And sometimes it gets to superstition, like, oh, there's going to be different words are used. I don't want to use all these different words in the various cultures. Oh, people know the evil eye. Evil eye is baloney. There's no such thing in Islam. That is superstition that unfortunately has entered the language of even some Hausa students. So many times, and how this Hausa student gatherings with Atla Khushwaqt, this great scholar, the great alim, great arif, great faqih, kept asking him, and they would quote these verses that unfortunately people quote, like, oh, what about that verse? It says, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, if the kuffar almost killed you with their eyes. Oh, this is talking about evil eyes. Yeah, he said, it has nothing to do with evil eye. It has absolutely nothing to do with evil eye. It's evil eye is complete superstition. There's nothing regarding that matter in Islam. There's no effect to someone knowing you have something that they bad eye you, evil eye you. There's no such thing. That verse is saying they hated the Prophet so much, the way they looked at the Prophet, if they could, they would kill him with it with their eyes. That's how much anger they had and were showing, it was showing in their face and their eyes. That's what that verse is saying. It has nothing to do with evil eye. Absolutely nothing. And they quote this verse so many times, and I mention this because people that are gathered there are houses students. And they keep asking this alim, this mujtahid, this faqih, this mufassir of the Quran, is there any truth to that? He categorically rejected it. And any verse that was used, he explained, this is what the verse means. Does it have anything to do with evil eye? No, it doesn't have anything to do with it. Anyway, all that superstitious stuff all adds. Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhi says this, مَا يَسُوءُنِي ذَلِكَ. People say he has a lot of money. That doesn't hurt me. It's not bad if people are saying this about me. Then he goes on to explain an account with Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. Very interesting. He says, this is Imam al-Sadiq saying, إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مَرَّ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ عَلَى نَاسٍ شَتَّى مِنْ قُرَيْشٍ. There's two accounts. I'm not sure if we're going to get to the second one in this session or not. That also is about Amir al-Mu'mineen, and it has similarities, but it doesn't seem to be the same one. Imam al-Sadiq here says, Amir al-Mu'mineen was مَرَّ. He was passing by on a day, ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ عَلَى نَاسٍ شَتَّى مِنْ قُرَيْشٍ. Some various people from Quraysh, he was passing by them. وَعَلَيْهِ قَمِيصٌ مُخَرَّقٌ. He was wearing a clothing, an attire that was مُخَرَّقٌ. مُخَرَّقٌ means it's ripped, it's stitched. It's not new. It's very obvious. A couple of things here tell me that this is before the Khilafah. It's that gap, the 25-year gap. Okay. Between the time of the Prophet, because the Prophet is not there to say anything. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, himself is addressing this matter. And the conversation, these people in Quraysh, the way they're speaking, okay, again, conforms with that period of time. And so it tells us that Amir al-Mu'mineen is not the Khalifa, in other words, he's not the ruler. It's during the time where others are ruling. And this is the period that Quraysh, as the relatives of the Prophet, you know, the first two Khalifas are also from Quraysh, as well as the third Khalifa. All three of them are from Quraysh. They're just from other clans of Quraysh. They're not, the first two are not from Banu Hashim or Banu Umayyah. The third is from Banu Umayyah, but they're all from Quraysh. He says different people from Quraysh were sitting there, and Amir al-Mu'mineen passed by him. He's wearing this type of clothing. The first point right here that we need to pause is that what I thought the other hadith said, that you shouldn't be dressed in a way where people look down upon it, down upon you, see you as someone that is that a bad thing or not? Well, all those were there. This hadith is actually mentioned in the context where that teaching is being presented. Let's wait until the end of the hadith to see in that regard what we can learn from this and what Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhi is presenting here. But one thing I want to say right here is that, as we said, those teachings are there. These are the teachings we're reading, but these are not the only teachings in Islam. There are other teachings in Islam. Amir al-Mu'mineen wore that clothing, qamisun mukharraq, deliberately. He wasn't someone that didn't care about what he wears. He cared about what he wore. In the way he wore his clothes, what he wore, how he wore them, when he washed them, when he stitched them, what he did with them, when he changed his shoes or his clothing, his food, whatever it was, everything was done exactly based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to do. So if he's wearing that clothing there, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. So you might find a mu'min that is following Amir al-Mu'mineen at a time they may be wearing that clothing. They would be thinking, why in the world would he be dressed like this? Well, yeah, Islam says care about it and wear good clothing. But there are other teachings in Islam that sometimes may tell you that no, deliberately dress in this way. Amir al-Mu'mineen deliberately wore that type of clothing. While he wore that clothing, okay, this idea of people's perception of him, inshallah, we'll complete the hadith and then we'll try to figure out if we can see, not necessarily based on this one hadith, there may be other things that we know about that context, to try to understand why Amir al-Mu'mineen wore that type of clothing. I mean, that's what we hear all the time, right? We hear Ali ibn Abi Talib wore clothes that were not new. If they would get ripped, he would stitch them back up, and they were filled with these stitches. And anyone that saw them, they didn't think these clothes were worth anything. His shoes, similarly, clothes, the food, very simple. Why did he do that in light of all these ahadith? Why did he do that? Let's read the rest of the hadith. Right now, all I'm doing is to say that while we have all those ahadith about showing what God has given you, as we will read, Ali ibn Abi Talib had. It's not like he didn't have. Why would someone choose that in light of the hadith that we should be showing what we have? Sometimes there are other things that are there that we need to discuss after we're done, inshallah, with the hadith. Anyhow, let's move on. So, Amir al-Mu'mineen passed by on a day, he passed by various people from Quraysh. He was wearing a clothing that was all stitched up and it wasn't new. فَقَالُوا أَصْبَحَ عَلِيٌّ لَا مَالَ لَهُ. Like, oh, Ali has become such, he doesn't have money. He can't afford just basic, normal, ordinary clothing. He's wearing this type of clothing. So they judged him based on his attire. And Ali ibn Abi Talib heard that. فَسَمِعَهَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمَنِينَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. What did he do? فَأَمَرَ الَّذِي يَلِي صَدَقَتَهُ. Someone was, apparently, my understanding, there's two possibilities, I don't want to get into that. Seems like it's the person that was by his sadaqat. Okay. One of the people, as we will see, there's a few people that are dealing with his sadaqah. It's either the person who's taking care of his sadaqah or someone that's by his sadaqah, one of those two. He told the person that was by his sadaqat, so sadaqah, Amir al-Mu'mineen had sadaqah. It becomes clear by the end of the hadith, the volume of it, I'll wait until the hadith explains, but one thing that needs to be clear here, sadaqah can mean wajib sadaqah, as we will have in the hadith that will come, which is zakat. We know that generally as zakat. But in the Quran, the word is general. Innama sadaqat lil fuqara. Sadaqah is inclusive. It actually refers first and foremost to zakat, the wajib zakat. But then by extension, it relates to other forms of zakat, mustahab charity as well. So which one is intended here? By the end of the hadith, it becomes clear that this is not talking about the wajib sadaqat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. These are the recommended sadaqat, what he would do with what he earned and what was his, okay? Not the part that zakat, wajib zakat that he gave. No, the part that was his, he didn't owe anyone anything, what he did with that. So the person who was taking care of his sadaqah, and yajma'a tamr. One last thing regarding that, sometimes, and it has been said in this regard, in this case, that it refers to the orchards that he developed and he did waqf of. And so they would be referring to the mawqufat of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. I have a little bit of an issue regarding understanding it in that very particular way. I don't want to get into it. What I want to clarify, whether it was a form of waqf or something of that nature, it is clear that the money belonged to Ali ibn Abi Talib and he didn't have to spend it. That's important. He didn't have to spend it in that way. He could have used that money to buy much better clothing. Okay. If it was something that was already left his position and it was no longer his, it had to be used for something else, then obviously, if he developed it, that's fine. But once he's given it up and it's no longer his, it's sadaqah entirely, then none of it belongs to him. He can't do that. So it's even if it's a form, something related to a waqf, the form of waqf would have been in a way where he was able to use this. It's his money. So anyhow, without any further ado, فَأَمَرَ الَّذِي يَلِي صَدَقَتَهُ أَن يَجْمَعَ تَمْرَهُ. He told the person that is by his sadaqah to gather his tamr, okay, his dates, what they had accumulated of the dates for sadaqah, for charity. He ordered them to gather all of it. وَلَا يَبْعَثَ إِلَىٰ إِنسَانٍ شَيْئًا. is his, right? He says, I don't send anyone. He was giving it to people. He said, لا يبعث إلى إنسان شيئا. Don't give any of it to anyone. وأن يوفره. And to bring it all. Okay, bring it all. ثم قال له بعه الأول فالأول. Okay. Start the ones that come. Okay, that you're gathering, bringing all of that. So it must have been a lot. Whatever comes first, then the next batch, sell them. وجعلها دراهم. Make it into silver coins. Dirham is a silver coin. ثم اجعلها حيث تجعل التمر. Then put the silver coins where you have the dates. فاكبسه معه حيث لا يرى. So gather all the dates were supposed to be gathered, and then sold batches that would come in, each of them sold. So bring the money right there where the rest of the dates would be coming, and put them along with where the dates are, but in a way that the coins are not seen. It's only dates. You see dates. وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي يَقُومُ عَلَيْهِ And he told the person that was standing over it, either taking care of it, that's what standing over it means, or someone who is literally standing over it. إِذَا دَعَوْتُ بِالتَّمْرِ The person who was standing over all that huge, I don't know how big it was, but from the sounds of it, it's a large amount that has been gathered, and then the coins have been put somewhere in the midst of this in a way where they're not seen, they're not visible. The person who's standing on top of it or is taking care of this pile right here, not the whole of the sadaqah, this pile of all the dates and now the coins because of the sale of some of the dates. He says to him, إِذَا دَعَوْتُ بِالتَّمْرِ When I ask you for dates, فَصْعَدْ Then climb up, go up on top. وَانْظُرِ الْمَالِ And look at the mal, the seems to be referring to the coins. فَضْرِبْهُ بِرِجْلِكَ كَأَنَّكَ لَا تَعْمِدُ الدَّرَاهِمِ When you see it, okay, then hit it with your legs. It was piled up in a way, just imagine, I don't know exactly what shape, but this guy had to climb it, فصعد, go up on top of it. And then he would see it from on top, he would see it. So I guess in the centerpiece there's coins, on the outside there's dates. But in a way that he says, when you go up there, when I call you and ask for dates, then go up there, look at the mal and what's there, the coins and everything, and kick it, but in a way where it doesn't look like you intended to kick. فَضْرِبْهُ بِرِجْلِكَ كَأَنَّكَ لَا تَعْمِدُ الدَّرَاهِمِ As though you didn't intend to hit the coins. حَتَّى تَنْثُرَهَا Until you cause the coins to spill out and get scatter. ثُمَّ بَعَثَ إِلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ Then he sent for one of the people of Quraysh that were sitting there, يَدْعُوهُمْ To call them to come. ثم دعا When they came دعا بالتمر He called that person Can you give me some date فلما صعد ينزل بالتمر When he went up there to come To bring down dates ضرب برجله He hit it the way Amir al-Mu'mineen had said With his foot فنثرت الدراهم The coins fell and they got scattered فقالوا They said no. So this is all a play They said, فَقَالُوا مَا هَذَا يَا أَبَا الْحَسَنِ What is this, O father of Hassan? فَقَالُ He said, هَذَا مَالُ مَنْ لَا مَالَ لَهُ This is the mal, the belongings, the wealth of the one that doesn't have any wealth. Because that was what they said. They said, أَصْبَحَ عَلِيٌّ لَا مَالَ لَهُ He doesn't have any mal, he doesn't have any wealth. So this is the wealth of the person that doesn't have any wealth. Referring to what they had said. ثم أمر بذلك المال فقال انظروا أهل كل بيت كنت أبعث إليهم فانظروا ماله وابعثوا إليه. He said he ordered that all of that which was there, including the dirham, the coins, figure out how much I would give to each of the homes that I would give. and see how much of these coins belongs to them, how much dates is the equivalent of the how many coins would be the equivalent of the dates that would be given otherwise. Figure that out, do the math and see how much goes to which house and give it to all those homes that so all of this is something Ali ibn Abi Talib chose to give away of his belongings. Okay. First things first, this account of Amir al-Mu'mineen was given to us by Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. In the context of what? In the context that Imam al-Sadiq was told, people are saying that you have a lot of money. Imam al-Sadiq says, that's not a problem. That doesn't hurt me. And then he gave us this account. In that context, what does this mean? It means, look, for people to think that you have money, that's not a bad thing. Rather, the opposite of it, and we'll see a couple other hadith regarding that, for people to think you're poor and you don't have, that perception that people may have of you, you should take measures to change that. So people thinking you have money is fine. People thinking you have a lot of money, that's also fine. But people thinking that you're poor, you don't have any money, that's something that needs to be changed. That's what's mentioned here. And we will find other hadith that will tell us that. And we have a lot of other hadith that in a more general sense, not specifically regarding wealth and money and so on and so forth, but we have so much in the Quran praises in Surah Baqarah, those who don't have, but they behave in a way, they dress in a way that the person who sees them has no idea. You're like, no, this person is not in need. They hide their neediness. The Quran praises that. This is in line with that. You don't see if a person is actually in need. So the perception people having of a person to be that of a person who's in need is not good. You got to change. You need to take measures to change that. Not at whatever expense, to do whatever. No. The way you behave, for example, if a person feels needless, because they rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, the way they're going to behave even when they don't have a penny in their pocket. When they see people and they're around people who have not pennies but millions of dollars even, they're just fine and they know how to take care of themselves, basic needs, basic hygiene, basic clothing and so on and so forth, the way they wear, that they look normal. They may not look very wealthy, but they look normal. But sometimes you need to take extra measures, as we will find. So the first thing that we need to understand here is, what is Imam al-Sadiq trying to draw from this? Is that if people think you have a lot of money, that's not a bad thing. If people think you don't have money and you're in need, that's something that needs to be changed. Lastly, why did Ali have that money, not spend it on himself, but care about what they thought of him having or not having money? Well, he could have easily just dressed normally according to their standards. Someone who had all that wealth that Ali did, salamullah alayhi, could afford better clothing. You wear that better clothing, you walk by them, they're not going to say, Asbaha Aliyun la mala lah. Ali doesn't have money. It's very easy, wasn't it? And the hadith say, well, if you have, then show it. Then why didn't Ali show it in that way? He showed it in this way. So he implemented this teaching. He implemented the teaching of showing it, but not in his clothing. Why? Why? In this particular hadith, the whole context has been mentioned, because that wasn't the intention of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. But when we read that history, we come to learn what that is. What is that? After the demise of the Prophet, gradually the social construct that the Holy Prophet had built based on taqwa and not judging people based on their belongings, and for the people who were leading society, leading people, the one who was governing them, the Holy Prophet and his household, not being the leaders of a material race, rather a spiritual race, a race that you sacrifice in the way of Allah to serve people, it went away from that and started turning into people on the top taking more for themselves, giving more to people who are at the top, friends, buddies, relatives, whatever, discriminating between people, sometimes Arab, non-Arab, sometimes Quraysh, non-Quraysh, whatever way, that had started to develop. And instead of the society moving towards sacrificing, the more you have, the more you sacrifice, it turned into a race. And people started dressing better and putting more and showing it off, not showing it in the way these hadith talk about, showing it off to people. Walking by Quraysh, dressing something better than what they have, and trying to show that off to them. And then they in turn were like, oh, he's got this, I gotta show this off, so I'm gonna go buy something better. And then that race, that competition for material gains, materialism, that will lead only to injustice, discrimination, corruption, and so on and so forth. That race had started. Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, while he implemented this teaching of showing, when they have a misunderstanding that he doesn't have, no, he shows it, I do have. But he also shows that I'm not interested in that race, and that needs to stand out. That needs to be visible. He's combating, he's battling, he's doing jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this context where they're all racing, especially Quraysh, because they were relatives of the Prophet, they're the ones who are governing. They were racing with one another in terms of, and competing with one another in terms of what they wear and what they have, and what they show off to people. And then also, of course, earning, taking in. Ali ibn Abi Talib wanted to show, I have, but I'm not part of that race. God has given me, but I'm not interested in that race. I'm not interested to show off to people what God has given me. Yes, God has given me. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not interested in saying, no, I don't know. No. But I'm not interested in joining this competition, this material competition. That's what Ali salallahu alayhi is doing over there. Let's move on to the next hadith. Hadith number 9, Ali ibn Ibrahim an abihi an ibn Abi Umayr rafa'ahu qala Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. This chain of transmission is one word here, a difference. Remember we had earlier, I believe maybe it was this last, no, it was the one prior to that, hadith number 7. Ibn Abi Umayr, we talked a little extensively about him. He said, عن بعض أصحابنا عن معاوية ابن وهب عن إمام الصادق سلام الله عليه. We had two links between Ibn Abi Umayr and Imam al-Sadiq salam Allah alayhi. Someone that he didn't name, and then معاوية ابن وهب. That hadith would be considered mursal because Ibn Abi Umar doesn't mention who it is. It says, بعض أصحابه, one of his companions. This hadith number 9 would be classified as mursal as well because he again doesn't mention Ibn Abi Umayr. Rafa'ahu qala Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. But this term rafa'ahu means this. In the last one, Ibn Abi Umayr, while he didn't share the name of the person, he said it's one person, then Muawiyah ibn Wahab from Imam al-Sadiq salam alayhi. In this case, Ibn Abi Umayr, he just said Imam al-Sadiq salam alayhi said this. This is called rafa'. Like today, if you have a speaker, in his speech, he says, Imam al-Sadiq said this, and he doesn't provide any chain of transmission. That's called raf'ul hadith. I don't mention any chain of transmission. Imam al-Sadiq said this. Amir al-Mu'mineen said this or that. That's what the term means. Anyhow, قال Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنِّي لَأَكْرَهُ لِلرَّجُلْ أَن يَكُونَ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يُظْهِرَهَا. I dislike for a man, in other words, again, for a person, I'm translating literally, but also emphasizing gender is not intended here. We've explained why many times before, and we will continue, but right now we don't have too much time. I want to get through more hadith. I dislike for a person, a man meaning a person, أَن يَكُونَ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَةٌ, that he has a ni'mah, he has a blessing from Allah, فَلَا يُظْهِرَهَا, he doesn't show it, he doesn't reveal it. Again, there's a difference between showing off. Showing off to people, a person wants to show that I have this, I have that. That's showing off. I have more than you. I'm better than you. That's what showing off means. Showing it is God has given a blessing. This is God's blessing. He gave it to me for it to show signs. He said for me to reveal it. He said he wants to see that on me. I'm not saying I'm better than you. This is a blessing God has given. It was referred to one of the earlier hadith used the term or the phrase that is used in Surah Al-Duha in the Quran. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. It's an order of the Quran. The ni'mah that God has given you, فَحَدِّثْ. Speak of it. This is, sometimes you speak of it verbally. You say things, and sometimes you speak of it, you reveal it, instead of verbally talking about it, you put that on, it's seen. You buy things with the blessing of money that God has given you. If you don't have a reason like Ali ibn Abi Talib to deliberately buy lower standard clothes or stitch up your clothes or things like that, which doesn't generally apply to us. And last thing about this is that this is repeated. Remember, a few hadith said that God dislikes this. A person who doesn't show it is called Baghilullah, one of the terms we had in a previous hadith. God is despised of this person who he's given a blessing for him to show it, for him to use it, for him to benefit from it, and he hides it. Next hadith, عِدَّةُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِنَا عَنْ أَحْمَدْ إِبْنْ مُحَمَّدْ عَنِ الْقَاسِمِ إِبْنْ يَحْيَى عَنْ جَدِّهِ الْحَسَنِ إِبْنْ رَاشِدْ عَنْ أَبِي بَصِيرٍ. This chain of transmission, we had it in the last session. I'm not going to talk about it. عَنْ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ قَالَ قَالَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. From Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Sadiq quotes أمير المؤمنين صلى الله وسلامه عليه. أمير المؤمنين has said, لِيَتَزَيَّنْ أَحَدُكُمْ لِأَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ كَمَا يَتَزَيَّنُ لِلْغَرِيبِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَاهُ فِي أَحْسَنِ الْهَيْئَةِ. It's a really interesting teaching that we have here. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the one who gives us this. Each of you, أَحَدُكُمْ لِيَتَزَيَّنْ. This is an order. Okay, it's a command. It's فعل الأمر, as they say. لِيَتَزَيَّنْ. Each of you should, must, يَتَزَيَّنْ. Beautify themselves. Zina means beauty. Yatazayyan is beautify. Okay, something. Make something look good. Beautify yourselves. Make yourselves look good. لِأَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ. For his Muslim brother. The way, كَمَا يَتَزَيَّنُ لِلْغَرِيبِ. The way he would adore, or they would beautify themselves. A person would beautify themselves for an unknown person. لِلْغَرِيبِ. When you generally, when you're meeting someone for the first time, you worry about the way you look to them. So you care more, you take care of yourself, hygiene, clothing, skin care, all that stuff. So if it's a person that your buddy, your friend, I'm like, oh, you could be in your PJs and so on. Now, it's not saying that be very uncomfortable, but this isn't saying every single time you see them. It just says that you should also care the way you dress in their presence. It shouldn't be that amongst your close associates, your friends, your family, you're not clean, not wearing good clothing, don't look good. And then when it comes to people that are not close to you, or they are gharib, then that's when you start dressing up and you start looking nice. No, it shouldn't be like that. Next hadith. عِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِنَا عَنْ أَحْمَدِ بِنْ مُحَمَّدْ عَنْ إِبْنْ مَحْبُوبْ عَنْ إِبْنِ فَضَّالْ جَمِيعًا عَنْ يُونُسْ. عن يونس ابن يعقوب عن أبي بصير. There seems to be an issue with this isnad, because of the word jami'an. It seems like Ibn Mahbub and Ibn Fadl are two people in this, and it says jami'an from both of them. That's my right now not having given it too much thought. I didn't realize this error here in this text. Anyhow, it's not too important. The chain is either way, it's a reliable chain. عن يونس ابن يعقوب عن أبي بصير قال بلغ أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام عن طلحة. Now, we said it's a reliable chain. I meant that the people there are reliable. But أبو بصير قال بلغ أمير المؤمنين. According to what we have right now, Abu Basir, a companion of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, talks about something that happened with Amir al-Mu'mineen. So there's a huge gap. Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi was martyred in 138, if I remember the exact year, but it's in the towards the mid second century, and obviously Amir al-Mu'mineen was martyred in the year 40 after the Hijrah, around the year 40 after the Hijrah. And so there's a big gap here. It's about a 100-year gap, and he must have heard it from an imam or from companions from Amir al-Mu'mineen regarding that time. So we don't really have a chain of transmission. It's highly likely that Abu Basir heard this from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, but here he's not telling us that. Knowing that Khulaini was very careful with his hadith, I think it seems that Khulaini's judgment was also that Abu Basir, this very well-known companion of Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, wouldn't just dream of something regarding Ali ibn Abi Talib or just have some unknown source. He's a companion of Imam al-Sadiq. If he says that this is what happened during Amir al-Mu'mineen's time, then it's something that he received from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. Anyhow, so although the chain of transmission, there's a leap here, there's a gap here. We'll read it. As I said, there's another account with Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is that other account. It's similar to the first one, but it's different in ways. It doesn't seem to be the same account that Imam al-Sadiq told us in that other hadith. Anyway, without further ado, بلغ أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام أن طلحة والزبير يقولان ليس لعلي مال. Like the previous account we had, this seems to be before Amir al-Mu'mineen becomes the Khalifa. Talha and Zubair are also actually from Quraysh, as far as my understanding goes. My knowledge is that Talha and Zubair are both from Quraysh. That may not be too accurate. I haven't done extensive research on that, but and I haven't recently looked at that. My recollection is that they were both from Quraysh. Anyhow, but they're particular people, and the way the account works is a little different than the other account. So anyway, it says that Amir al-Mu'mineen came to know, it reached him, that Talha and Zubayr are saying that Ali doesn't have any mal, he doesn't have any wealth. قال فشق ذلك عليه. He said that apparently Abu Basir, that was difficult. شق ذلك عليه means it was one of the derivatives of this شق. The verb is مشقة. مشقة means difficulty. It was difficult for him to hear that. شق ذلك عليه. فأمر وكلاءه. He ordered his وكلاء, people that he has doing things for him. أن يجمعوا غلته. This case, instead of dates, he's talking about غلّة. Although there are instances, from what I can remember, that the غلّة can refer to dates as well. In some usages, I believe I have seen it being used to include that. But generally, it refers to wheat, barley, and those items. He commanded those who are taking care of his ghallat, أن يجمعوا غلته, to gather it, حتى إذا حال الحول, until the year, the end of the year came, أتوه وقد جمعوا من ثمن الغلة 100,000 درهم. By the end of the year, they had gathered from the sale of ثمن الغلة, the money they got as a result of selling the غلة, 100,000 درهم, 100,000 silver coins. فنشرت بين يديه, it was spread in front of him. فأرسل إلى طلحة والزبير, he sent for طلحة and زبير. فأتياه, they came. فقال لهما, he said to them, هذا المال والله لي, he said this is by Allah mine, ليس لأحد فيه شيء, this nobody has any share of this, in other words I have paid off whatever zakat, whatever, this is entirely mine, nobody else has any share of this. وكان عندهما مصدقا, أمير المؤمنين, at least at that time he was considered a reliable person, they trusted him, they believed him. قال فخرج, he said they left him in عنده, they left his presence. وهما يقولان إن له لمالا, and they were saying that he verily does have wealth. Now this hadith, even if it's a different account, it suggests the same thing that was mentioned in an earlier account. It doesn't give us too much context. It says something that's a little disturbing, to say فَشَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ, this was difficult for Ali ibn Abi Talib. That I'm not, and so since this wasn't something that Abu Basir himself said, Imam al-Sadiq said it, perhaps he heard it from Imam al-Sadiq, but the wording is such that it seems like he wasn't quoting verbatim what Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi had said. And so the possibility of error in some of the details is a little more compared to some of the other ahadith that we have. And as I said, that's visible. When Imam al-Sadiq was quoted in that other hadith and it was verbatim what the Imam had said, we didn't have this term, فَشَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. It was difficult. What would it be difficult for Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi to hear that? That wasn't the reason that last time he... The other hadith that we had, that wasn't mentioned as the reason why Ali ibn Abi Talib showed them he has. The reason was something else. Allah wants it to be seen generally, and in that case there was something additional that we mentioned. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides our hearts and minds to the teachings that He has presented us through the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.